you so much, Susan, for having me.
No problem. No problem at all. You're more than welcome. Rita, I don't want to take up too much of your time. So basically, I'm just going to ask you a few questions now. And starting off with, you were born in Norway to Indian parents. Can you tell us a little bit about what life was like growing up in Norway?
Well, I was born in the late 70s. At that time, there weren't many Indians. And there were not much like Indian food and so on, which my parents were quite accustomed to.
Okay.
So I'm brought up on kind of Norwegian food. And I went to kindergarten, ordinary school and so on. But I was like, it was very, we were very few Indians and very few with Pakistani background. So it was like, you never felt kind of a home.
I can understand.
But when I went to India also, I couldn't feel at home. So it's like, yeah. So, but over the course of years, I've grown to love this country. It has a lot of good qualities. Like there's a lot of honesty.
Yes.
And it has a high standard of living. And yeah, it's a great country. The education is free.
That's right. Yeah,
that's really, really good. That's why there's so many with the higher education.
And I believe schooling starts later in Norway as well than other countries.
Yes, yes, it does.
That's it.
And it is a very very easy way, a very easy approach to life. It's not very stressful. It's not much competition. It's a great country to be brought up in, and it's a very good country to raise kids in.
Oh, well, that's nice. That's nice to know. Mm. So you're happy in Norway now at the moment, Rita?
Yeah, what's happening?
You're very happy there at the moment.
Yes, we are very happy. Yes. I'm married to a Norwegian man, even though
right.
my parents wanted me to marry an Indian guy. But in Norway, there were not many Indian guys at my age when I wanted to get married. So I married a Norwegian guy. And,
Rita, yeah. You start dancing at a very young age and you had stage performances from age 5. Were you always passionate about dance from day one? Or was it naturally in your blood?
It was naturally in my blood, but even though if you have a natural talent, you still have to work on it. You still have to practice.
And
yes. So I started when I was 4, but at that time, it was more about, you know, dressing up, looking gorgeous, looking like an Indian princess. So, yeah, I did hard work, but it was mostly about the colors, being on stage. I'd never had this stage fright.
That's good.
But doing something that was different. I wanted to be the first one to do something like that, and I was.
Oh.
There were not many people at my age who could actually perform in front of 300-400 people.
Yeah, that's difficult.
So, but I was very blessed because I had a mother who had wanted to teach me. So that's why I got on stage on an early age, yes.
And Rita, you've been described as a conductor to a better world. Would you say dance is or can be a form of therapy? And do you believe that healing can occur through dance?
Yes, I do. I do. It's a very good form for therapy because it could be compared to meditation in many ways because you look inside yourself. And you explore so many things about yourself at the same time. You get control of your physical body, but it's actually a spiritual journey as well.
Right.
And it's a way of expression, expressing your thoughts, your emotion, or whatever you're going through. So in many ways, it's a way of therapy. And a lot of people, a lot of my students come and they have experienced a lot of different things through their lives. And many of them are experiencing difficulties in their private life. Some have difficulties with the physical health. They all come to me and they say that through dance, they have experienced something totally different. It's amazing to see how far they come just after 1 year. A lot of people come to Norway and because it's a little bit isolated country, and mm. there's a lot of dark seasons. Like in the wintertime, it becomes very dark.
Yeah.
A lot of people fall into depression. And when they come to me and they are depressed, they, through the colors, through the music, through the social environment, you know, the community, and the physical activity, they actually get out of the, they manage to take themselves out of the depression. They don't need any more help from outside.
Well, I suppose, and dance is also a form of physical exercise as well, which has been known to help with depression too. It seems yes. like you really are helping people there, and I can relate to the dark evenings as well, coming from Ireland, although it's not as dark yeah. as Norway, but you know, it does actually affect, it can actually affect your mental health. Risha, yes. you suffered from some traumatic events during your childhood. Can you tell me, did this influence how you felt about dance? And did you feel you could express yourself and possibly heal through the art form?
Yes, it was. I experienced it when I was 11 and I already started dancing. So I actually poured everything I was experiencing, all the negative emotions, the thoughts that would haunt me into the dance. So
okay.
through the physical exercise, the expression, I could actually process it.
I
decided in a very early age that I didn't want to share
okay.
my experience with anybody.
Okay.
But because I wanted to save everybody else around me from the pain that I was experiencing. Mm. But as 11 years old, you don't know how to, I didn't know how to express it.
Of course.
So through dance I was able to express it, and you know, the taunting experiences, the memories, the nightmares, everything was just poured into dance. And that's why I was so passionate about dance, because there nobody actually questioned what I was saying and why I was expressing it that way. And my dance form is Kathak, and that is was generated in the temple. That's where it originated from.
So a spiritual element to it.
Yeah, so that's the spiritual element, and that got me connected more to the spirituality. Mm-hmm. And so I started meditating even more. But it started through dance, but I went into more meditation after a while. That's why my dance is more...
meditative dance.
Yes, it's meditative dance. Yes,
And I'd like
that's how I teach all my students.
Okay.
The approach to the dance is through the meditation also. Because you don't have to always sit down to meditate. You can use dance as a meditation.
Absolutely.
But it's not easy to understand the technique. That's why I teach them that way.
Risha, please allow me to say that I'm sorry to hear that you did experience traumatic events in your childhood. That's awful for anybody to have to experience, especially at that age. You've always been ambitious. Would you describe yourself as entrepreneurial?
Yes. I always thought I would be an entrepreneur. I just in early stage, I wasn't sure what I will do, how to do it. But yeah, I always thought I'll do something in art. I'll combine art and business. I always thought about it, but I didn't know how to do it until a few years back.
Ah, right. And can you tell me, who were your major influences growing up?
Growing up, I have to say the first people have to be my parents.
Of course.
My father was a good businessman. My mother was a language person, artist. So those were definitely people I looked up to. And they're very hardworking. I learned that from them. But then I had my teacher, dance teacher. And then in a later age, I read a lot of Osho's book.
Okay.
And then I found Tony Robbins.
Tony Robbins.
So these are the major influencers in my life, yes.
Well, Tony Robbins, I have to say, has been a huge inspiration to me as well. And he's such a powerful energy. It's literally unbelievable. Obviously, you've been to see him in your lifetime.
Yes, I have. And I was at UPW a few times, but I went to Business Mastery, and then just a few years back, I went with my husband to Date with Destiny.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And definitely those were the things that actually turned my life around.
He does have a life-changing energy.
Very much so.
Very much
and even,
so.
Even if I'm listening to his, these programs that he has.
Yes.
Even through his voice, he can really change the mindset.
Absolutely.
It's amazing how the energy can get through with just his voice.
Just his voice. He's just got an unbelievably powerful energy. And I'm so happy that he's alive in the world today. Rita, do you find that, this probably sounds like a silly question, but do you find that the dance helps to keep you connected to your Indian roots and traditions?
Definitely. It has. Through the dance, I learned so much about tradition and religion and how, and not a lot about the mindset of the Indian people, even growing up in India, or the mindset of people living outside of India. So through dance, I've been actually connected to the culture throughout the world, but still able to understand why my parents think the way they think, or why people, why we have the traditions that we have.
Right.
Which has been important for me, because it actually answers a lot why I think the way I do, or why I've been brought up the way I've been brought up. So it gives a lot of answers. So it has definitely made me connected. That's why I keep on working with Indian dance. I mean, Norway is a small country.
Yeah.
And you can imagine it's a very small niche to work with Indian dance in Norway. But that is one of the biggest reasons why I wanted to keep on working with Indian dance, is that because I could stay connected with my roots, with the country my parents came from. So I want to give that gift to the kids growing up, because in one stage when you're a youngster, You can stand between the two worlds, the Western world and the world that your parents come from, and you want to be able to choose the best of the both cultures.
Of course, and it's wonderful to be able to choose between the two cultures as well. And I think it's very it's very important to stay connected to your roots and to be able to share that with your children. Sorry, Risha, you wear the most beautiful and vibrant colours. Now, I have to say, before the interview here, I was looking at pictures of some of your amazing outfits that you wear on the stage. And I was thinking, I wish I could wear those. Where do you source your amazing outfits? I mean, how do you find them?
I used to buy them through my teacher, because some of the costumes that I wear on stage, they are specifically for my dance style, and that is not something you can just buy somewhere.
Yes.
You have to get it tailored, so tailored to sew them for you properly.
Okay.
Because it has to, when you spin, it has to get it has to show that you're spinning in the skirt and so on.
Right.
It has to be. And my dance style have different eras.
Okay.
So you have one style that is Hindustani costume, and you have another style that is inspired from the Muslim court.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
So it's important to remember what to wear, where to wear it, and the color combination and so on. But yes, it is one of the most, happy aspect of my dance form is that I am able to wear these bright and wonderful colors.
And there's such amazing colors as well.
Everybody works with, mostly in the daily life you wear black, or you wear other colors that are dull and dim. I can't wear bright pink in the snow in Norway.
I love those colors. I love loud, vibrant colors. And the most beautiful outfits in the world come from India, in my opinion. I just think they're absolutely stunning.
And the fabric is so great, you know,
yeah.
And you know the detailed handwork.
Oh,
so
yes.
It all costs a little bit, but it lasts forever.
And it's so intricate. Yes. The work that's involved in the clothing and the styles, it's just so beautiful.
It is.
Can you talk to us a little bit about the different styles of dance that you do, Rita?
I have my master is in Kathak,
okay,
which is a North Indian classical dance form. I learned when I was younger. I also learned a little bit in South Indian classical dance form.
Okay.
But I teach now Bollywood, which is a commercial.
Oh, I love Bollywood.
Commercial dance form. Yeah, it's from the Bollywood movie.
Oh, brilliant.
And that's actually suitable for everybody. So that's why most of the people want to dance that. And it's not that difficult to dance.
Oh, really?
It's a lot of colors, a lot of joy, a lot of happiness, a lot of, you know, loud movement. It doesn't have to mean anything. It just Bollywood dancing. Bollywood dancing in itself is not an actual dance style. It's put together with a lot of different dance styles. It's mixed.
A
lot of the dance movements are taken from kind of disco or freestyle or contemporary. If you mix any kind of dance style into Bollywood and put it on Indian music, and if that music is from a movie, then it's a Bollywood dance.
It's a happy dance. It's a happy dance.
It's definitely a happy
it
dance.
Is, yeah.
But then I also teach folk dances from the various states of India. So we have Bhangra as well from Punjab.
Oh, lovely.
And we have something called Dandiya, which is done with sticks. That is from Gujarat. And we have also different folk dances from Rajasthan and Bihar and so on. So I do teach very traditional folk dances because that's where you actually get closer to the people and the way they express their happiness.
Okay.
But through the classical dance, that is much more kind of, it's a longer process.
All right.
But that's where you get more control of your body. So if you know the classical dance form, you can dance any dance form in the world. But
I see.
Yeah, but people usually start with Bollywood
and
then
progress.
They say we want more challenge and then they move over to the Kathak.
Gosh, I wish we had somebody teaching Indian dance here in Ireland where I come from, because I would definitely go. Rita, if I do get a chance to come to Norway, I'll go to one of the classes.
Definitely, you're most welcome.
Thank you. Do you feel that anyone can be taught how to dance, or are some people just not cut out for it?
No, I think anybody can dance, and I think everybody should dance. It's just, it's like math. You need to find the right teacher to teach you.
Very interesting.
So if you find the right teacher, anybody can dance. But a lot of people say, no, I don't have the dancing gene, or I have two left feet. I never met anybody who had two left feet, or I could not dance. It's just that the teacher has to be willing to see where your strengths are and
teach work on them
the way that the person is understanding what to do, and have patience. A lot of my students, when they come, they don't have patience. They want to learn it like yesterday.
Instantly.
They should have, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's, I tell people to be patient and a practice. It needs to be practiced like everybody else. It's you just need your body to be able to send the signals. If you never danced before, the body doesn't understand how to send the signals to what to do. So that's also a practice. When you do it many times, body will understand, okay, this is the signal they are sending, I should do this.
Okay.
And then it becomes beautiful.
Right. Well, just moving away from dance for a moment, you actually studied computer science, and I did myself. And there's a stark contrast between IT and dance. I mean, like, they're two different ends of the scale.
Yeah, I was getting that a lot when I was doing my engineering and computers.
I was actually surprised.
Why did you choose this? I mean, if you're a dancer, then why are you choosing computers?
I suppose it balances things out, really, if you've got, I mean, you have that. Have you always been technically minded?
Well, I didn't understand that I was that before I actually started doing it. Actually, I have dyslexia.
Ah, right, okay. Like Richard Branson?
Yeah, so I always liked math and physics and technical stuff. I always liked it, but I didn't actually think I was going to be a computer engineer. But my parents always said, well, dancing is very good, and if you can make a career out of that, as is good, but you should have some kind of other education.
To fall back
anything
on.
Could happen. Mm. And if you take that education to anywhere in the world, you can do anything.
Yes, of course.
So I simultaneously, while I was doing my master's in Kazakh, I kept on studying for computers. And I'm very happy that I did, because it all comes naturally to me, even though I don't work with computers anymore. I worked as a programmer for 4 years.
Yeah.
And when I was having the kids, I thought I can't work 14 hours a day. So I went solely into dance. So now I'm totally away from the computer world. Actually, I don't program at all, because it's like almost 12 years since I left it. So I can't go back without actually getting some extra knowledge. But it really has helped me in my businesses.
I can imagine. Yeah, but I can't. I'm just sitting here thinking, how on earth did you get through it? Given that you were dyslexic also, and I know myself in code, I mean, there's just so much to take in when it comes to programming. I think you've done extremely well to have completed that.
Yeah, I mean, the programming language is actually not that difficult for people who have dyslexia.
Really?
Yeah, no, it's not.
It's not the same as normal letters.
It's more easier, because it's not about the... of course. When I couldn't find one comma or one thing that I written wrong, I could actually sit up all night and I couldn't see it.
Oh, gosh.
Of course, that could happen. Yeah, it did happen a lot of times. And that's when you need to understand who you can ask for help. You need to be able to ask for help. And you can't be shy when you have dyslexia. But that, I think, you learn earlier stage.
Wasn't too difficult then?
Hmm?
You found that code wasn't too difficult in conjunction with dyslexia?
Definitely not.
Okay.
No. It was much easier, because you have a different kind of system.
Yes.
Than when you write.
Yes, of course. It's completely different language. You're the CEO of a non-profit organisation for over 10 years now. Can you talk to us a little bit about what that involves and what it is?
It is, in a way, if you have non-profitable organization, we used to get a lot of funds to run the organization, because in Norway, the cultural activities for kids and youngsters, it's supposed to be free.
Right.
You shouldn't charge much.
Okay.
And that because they want everybody to be able to experience everything.
That's fantastic.
It can't be dependent on the income.
I understand.
Because a lot of people cannot send their children to activities if it costs a lot.
Yes, indeed.
So when I was the CEO, I tried to keep the fees as low as I can, and try to give as many different activities I could to the children from, I think, 5 till 13.
Okay.
And then also for women.
Okay.
Because there are a lot of people in Norway who doesn't want to go swimming or don't like skiing or want to do something else than football and so on, and they wanted to learn dance.
Yeah.
So it really means that you should be able to run an organization where you have the activity for more or less for free, and you're able to actually help the kids find their own expression. And it was a very giving job. But after the government changed, they changed a lot of the rules and the demands for who was going to get the funds.
Okay.
Then it was my job to think something new, and that's where the business person came in and wanted to change the organization so it could be profitable enough so it could not be too dependent on the funds that it's getting in.
Yes, of
because
course.
As long as we were getting funds, we couldn't be in profit. We had to use up all the money we couldn't save for the next year.
Okay, I understand. It's similar here when it comes to government grants as well. All of the money has to be used.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if it isn't used up, you have to... you have to give it back.
Give it back, yeah. And that's painful.
Painful. And but we did a lot of big projects. We put up a lot of big shows. So we were able to give the children stages where they can perform and evolve. And we have crossovers from different dance forms. And we usually invited some... either someone from Bollywood or some dancers. So all the instructors, all the dancers, and all the kids could get some new input.
That's fantastic.
So we tried to use up the money anyway.
Wow,
but when I needed to change it, then we had to be creative how to raise the money. But people were so used to getting everything for free that they didn't want to pay for it.
Yes, of course. That's kind of understandable if you've grown up in a country where education and activities are free. But I think to be able to go and to perform dance like that is just wonderful. And I know that a lot of people wouldn't mind paying at all for that. Rita, you're now involved in coaching. Is this your main area of business? And what inspired you to become a coach?
I think before even I heard of Anthony Robbins, I heard about NLP. It's always been important for me to kind of develop myself and grow. So this was a completely different area. I already done dancing, already in the computer, but now I wanted to do something else. And I actually didn't take the education to become a coach first.
Okay.
But then I as I learned a lot, all the techniques and so on, I understood that I already do a lot of it.
Yes.
Through the dancing. I already were coaching a lot of people, but I didn't actually put it in that system.
Yeah.
But now that I got the system, I got the techniques, I got the name, it was quite natural for me to become...
To just become a coach.
To become a coach.
Yeah.
To get the title.
As you already were,
because
really.
I've been doing it for long. I'm actually getting paid for it.
Happy days.
And since I've been meditating for a long time, a lot of people started asking me, how do you meditate? Can you teach us how to meditate? So it's not just in the dance area or the personal area. I started... to specialize in kind of meditation.
Oh, excellent. Do you have coaches yourself?
Yes, I do.
And have
you
they
need to have that. Everybody should get a coach.
And have you found that they have influenced you a great deal in your career?
Yes, they have. My first coach, excellent woman, she changed my mindset. And at that time, I was just, I was so eager to get started with all my businesses.
Yeah.
And this is a few years back now. And she said, well, you're not ready. I was like, what? Just give me the techniques. Just give me the system. I'll just apply it and I'll be rich.
That's difficult to hear.
She worked with me for more than half a year just to change my mindset. She was like, you're everywhere and you just, you're up and down and you don't, like, we have to finish your kind of, make you think like a business person, because right now you don't think like a business person.
Gosh,
I was like, what?
I'd say you were shocked.
It's actually a different kind of a mindset.
Yes, indeed.
So she used 6 months on me, and then I kept on searching for different coaches. And right now I have another one, another wonderful lady that is coaching me too. And again, it's all about the mindset.
Yes.
And even though I can come and ask her, okay, how do I make money out of this? And she's like, okay, back to the mindset. So yeah, I think it's important to have the right kind, find the right kind of coach for whatever you're doing. Even if you want to dance, you find a dance teacher.
Yes,
that's also a coach. If you want to
become an athlete.
If you
want
to learn to meditate, find the right kind of meditation guru or coach or whatever you want to call them. And if you want to go into business, then find the right kind of coach that is or mentor into that kind of business that you are in.
Yes.
It's that is also something that I learned from the coaches, that I know any business coach can teach you that all the business are the same. It doesn't matter if it's a service or product. It's the same way of thinking. But still, it makes me more secure if I know that that coach have understanding of that that area of the market, or if they understand the customers better. Like the coach I have now, she used to dance, and she has a lot of dance centers.
Oh, that's excellent.
People to evolve their dances. So I think I'm in good hands right now. Well, so that makes me trust my coach even more.
Yes, of course. Well, Rita, going forward, what's the ultimate goal for you?
Oh, yeah. That is really difficult.
We're getting deep now.
And I was like, whenever I think that I have my goal now, and
it changes.
Before I actually anticipate that I'm going to reach it, I have another goal. Once I made a goal, it's already done, and I'm on to the next goal. So I don't think that is an ultimate goal.
Of course, you see, this is the life of an entrepreneur, and it's something that people don't realize is we never get to the end.
No, it's not. Well, I think...
It's good to always have new goals anyway, because I think you've always got to strive for something. You've always got to be striving for something better. If you're not growing, you're dying. So it is good to have a goal. But Rita, what does success mean to you?
That again, it's a very, very vague, it's a very open question.
Yes.
If it is success, for me, it depends on which area it is in. If I'm thinking of a relationship, then right now I feel I'm very successful because I have a very good marriage. I have two beautiful kids. So family-wise, I'm very blessed.
That's
and
nice.
It is hard work. And I think I feel that I'm successful in that. When it comes to business, it is success is when I'm working with something that I love and I feel that I'm growing in that area, like in dance. Kind of my next move will be become even touch even more life through dance.
Okay.
And then I feel that I'm going beyond that, I might feel that I'm successful there as well. As a coach, I have small successes all the time with my my clients. Whenever they are successful, I feel that I succeeded.
That's actually a great breakdown there, Rita. It's nice the way that you put things into different categories, because success to a lot of people means money, and you can't really define it as that, because there are different areas in your life and different areas where you will feel successful, as in your relationship, your health, your dealings with others too.
Mm-hmm.
Which moving on to my next question, which is also a very open question. Define happiness. What is happiness for you?
Again, happiness is an emotion, right? So I think that I feel happy. I can feel happy most of the time because through my meditation, I've understood what the feeling of happiness is. So
indeed,
I can grow it whenever I want it. I can feel it. I can touch it. And it's like when most of us feel happiness at one point or another, but it's only those who can understand how to feel happy all the time or most of the time without actually depending on other people making
them happy. Yes, of course.
Happy.
Of course.
If you understand what I'm saying. A lot of people look outside. They want other people to make them happy. Or if I get this stuff, or if I buy this thing, then I'll feel happy.
When it's an inside
job. Happiness is actually an emotion which I expand a lot through my meditation. And I feel happy whenever I can smile. And whenever I feel love, unconditional love for my children.
Yes.
So if I have to define it when I feel happy, then it's when I'm with the people I love the most, and I know they love me back.
So love and happiness are very strongly linked.
Yes. For me, love and happiness is very strongly linked, yes. I think we as human beings are here to connect with each other.
Yes, definitely.
And so if you can if you can connect and make as many relationships you can while you're here and give love and get love, then I think most of us will feel happy, because when we give, I think that expands the feeling of happiness.
It does. Wow, that's actually a wonderful answer there, Rita. Really, you've kind of summed it up completely perfectly well there. And it's very obvious that you do a lot of meditation, and you can hear it coming through. I'm actually sitting here now feeling the love. And, you know, Rita, we're just coming to the end of our interview here, but I'd like to say that it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you today. And I feel an enormous sense of peace after speaking with you. I think your energy has come through, just like Tony Robbins' energy can come through.
Oh,
I think your energy is...
I feel so uplifted, and now I feel successful. If you can say that, then... No, that is a really nice compliment.
Well, it's the truth. And Rita, thank you so much for joining us.